The Blitz. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
Break it down. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Pickerton's Barbecue on Airline Drive. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number. 713-780-3776. You can hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at Jerome Solomon today, at Jon Snow with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it is a Friday. We'll have R.J. Bell at 5:30, and then we're out at 6 o'clock. We're out here at Pinkerton's Barbecue. And I got to tell you, my favorite thing is a jalapeno sausage. Brisket's really good. Everything's really good here.
I haven't even done the jalapeno, the brisket was as good as you can make it. I mean, it's juicy, falls apart, tastes good.
I want to try something else before I leave, but it's just so much of it.
Now you're full.
Yeah, I just made a real bad tactical error because I was checking my flight status. And as someone who used to fly for a living, I don't know if you ever did this, but I always check the turbulence forecast.
No.
I shouldn't have done that.
That's weak.
I just like to know if it's going to be a smooth flight or if I'm going to be bouncing around throwing up on the person next to me.
That's weak.
Yeah.
I didn't even know they had a turbulence.
They have a website, turbulenceforecast.com. It's got pilot reports.
When I was flying, there was no web.
That's true. And there were prop planes, so it didn't really matter.
No. That brings to mind, actually, this – the most overblown dramatic thing from the NCAA tournament we were talking about earlier is the Michigan plane thing. Give me a break. Everybody's like, oh, God, you can see there. It's so much bigger than the game, and, you know, life is so precious. And nothing happened.
Yeah, exactly. Their
near-death experience was no more near death than when you're changing lanes on the highway, or you're like, oh, let me get off here, I'm almost missing my exit, and you lose somebody in your blind side and go, and you spot them at the last minute and turn back over and clip a little grass before you get back on the road. Ooh.
Yeah. Scary. You're scared for a few seconds, and then you're done. It's I'm good.
I'm like, give me a break.
And that stuff happens. I hate to say it. That stuff happens a lot. And
yeah, I mean, it went off the runway. They didn't crash.
Yeah.
They never left the ground.
No, but they have been calling it a plane crash.
Yes, man.
And it went off the runway.
Yeah, that's like calling your a car accident when you ran into a ditch and didn't even hit the ditch.
Yeah, and then came right back out.
No, not even a ditch. Yeah. You just ran into some grass.
Into the median.
Into some grass, yeah. Because at the end of the runway, it's just grass. I mean, come on.
I want to get back to this. It says, blaming a quarterback for fumbles is not entirely fair. They're in a vulnerable position in the pocket. I think fumbles are more of an indication of a bad offensive line, which on the surface sounds fair and thoughtful. But if you think about it, a lot of interceptions are caused by bad offensive lines too.
Yeah.
And guys who protect the football better in both situations, if you have a bad offensive line, it's more incumbent on you to protect the football. A lot of fumbles come from the way you hold the football. In his case, he had a couple that got slapped out of his hand because it was out there too far. Those are all things that are on the quarterback. And yes, there'll be five interceptions a year, unless you're Tom Brady, we don't throw that many, where the O-line made a mistake. It's so hard sometimes to look at interceptions, too, and say, okay, that was a quarterback's fault, that was a receiver's fault. But a lot of times that is on the O-line. But I think fumbles in the pocket, that's holding onto the ball too long. And some of them, there's nothing you can do. Like the one that Clowney forced.
Just get completely blindsided.
Those are going to happen. But seven is too many.
But when my take on those are, like, the interceptions, nobody allows it, but I will listen to a quarterback give an explanation, most of it's off the record, of why it wasn't his fault on an interception. On a fumble, most of the time there is none. I mean, you hold on to the ball. It's as simple as that. It's you know, similar to the James Harden thing. I love James Harden. He's my MVP without question. I think he's deserving. He's been spectacular. But he throws the ball away two times a game. And last year he did it three times a game just out of sheer not paying attention, not taking care of the ball, not valuing every possession. So when people say, oh, but he handles the ball so much and he's so involved and he's so busy and so much going on, I'm like, no, when you just roll the ball at somebody and it gets stolen, it's not because you handle it too much. It's because you handle it carelessly.
Right.
You fumble as much as Colin Kaepernick did, and, you know, who's watching the 49ers last year?
Right.
I didn't watch many of their games. But, yeah, no, hold on to the ball. And when you know your offensive line is bad, you better tuck and run more then.
Well, and he did, and that's where some of them came from. But that's, again, where you have to protect the ball as a runner.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm a Kaepernick guy, but I'm not going to defend you fumbling the ball. No, you protect yourself.
832 says, I know the show is notorious for thinking Cap is terrible, and that's fine, but you guys on this show love Jay Cutler. No, one guy on the show loves Jay Cutler. He's not here today. Okay?
Oh, so God.
Don't just make stuff up and say that's and act like it's a fact. Yeah, I know the president does that, but that's okay. But no. AJ is the Jay Cutler guy. I am not.
No, Jay Cutler could not play on my football team. And I've had that position for about 10 years. So even when there were many people who thought he was pretty good, I've never had much respect for him. And part of it, a lot of it has to do with I know a lot of players who played with him, and they don't respect him, so why should I? And he's bad. When he's bad, he's really, really bad.
It's well, you know? And I think it's not an unfair comparison because when Kaepernick had his stretch where he was playing really good football, he was playing at a very good level. And mm-hmm. Cutler's had stretches like that.
Cutler's never been as good as Colin Kaepernick, ever. He's never been the leader that Colin Kaepernick was. He's never been the locker room guy. He's never been as admired by his teammates as Kaepernick. He's never been as dominant as Kaepernick. He was pretty decent a couple of times.
He's had a couple of pretty good years. He really has.
But I'm not a Cutler guy at all.
But having said that, I don't want him because I never see enough of that. You're just hoping you might get that one stretch where he has a really good year again. And we haven't seen it enough for me to invest in the guy.
Yeah, see, I don't think he's capable of being on a team that plays in the Super Bowl. I think even less so now, for sure, than even earlier. But Kaepernick obviously was. I don't think he is now or ever will be again.
I know
Cutler will never be on a team that goes to the Super Bowl.
It's not in
his DNA.
Unless Harbaugh suddenly comes back from college, mm-hmm. then maybe. But because that's the guy who got everything out of Kaepernick. 713-780-ESPN. If you want to text the show, I don't want either one of them on my team. We'd be straight. If I'm an owner, I'm not looking at either guy. So I'm going to try. If I'm the Texans, I'm in a different spot because theoretically. You should be close. And if you're close, you need a veteran guy to go out there and try to win with.
See, I wouldn't have a problem with him with Kaepernick on my squad. Cutler I wouldn't want on my team just because of what he brings to the locker room, et cetera. But my thing is, though, I don't want a guy on my team if I'm the tech. Let's just say the Texans. Forget every other team.
Yeah.
There's a reason to have any guy
at somewhere.
But if for a team like the Texans, I would not have a problem with Kaepernick battling Tom Savage for a spot. Not the starting spot, but for my backup spot. Because I want my backup to be capable of winning four or five games and getting us to a Super Bowl if it comes to that. You know, and I don't think Tom Savage can do that.
I don't think Tom Savage can play at all. I just don't. And I think I've seen – and even if he could, can't stay healthy. Mm.
And that's why I'm against 30 other quarterbacks in the league. I'm like, depending on most teams, these guys will never – they don't have the ability to win four or five games and get you to a Super Bowl. So why do I want them on my team if they can't help me get to a Super Bowl? I mean, I just – unless I have a team where I know I'm not going to the Super Bowl anytime soon, then they can play for me because – I'm trying to draft somebody better, down the road.
yeah, there's plenty of teams that have no chance of going to the Super Bowl. So, all right, I have to tell you about shaving. And, Jerome, I don't know what you do for shaving, but I'll tell you what I do. I never leave my house, and my razors get delivered to me. I save a bunch of money. I get great quality, and that's because of Harry's. And that's what Harry's was all about, man. They bought their own factory, decided, hey, we're going to take less profit. We're going to sell directly to you over the Internet. And they offer their blades at half, sometimes a third of the price of what you're going to pay if you have to go to the store. And you go in the store, a lot of those things are locked up. Well, it doesn't happen for me. They come right to my door. And Harry's is so confident that you're going to love their blades, they're giving you their set for free. Just cover shipping. And Jerome, listen to this because you should try this. Here's what you're going to get for free. A Truman Set ergonomic handle, 5 precision engineered blades with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, travel blade cover, and post-shave balm. You try to buy that? $18, pretty good value, right? You go to the store, it's going to cost you a whole bunch more. But guess what? They're going to give you that for free. It's only available for the Blitzers if you use promo code Blitz at harrys.com when you check out. Start getting a great shave right now with this amazing free trial offer. $18 value for free. Just cover shipping. To get your free trial set, including a handle, blade, shave gel, and post-shave balm, go to harrys.com right now. Enter code Blitz at checkout. That's harrys.com, code Blitz. Don't wait. Get started with Harry's today.
The past had the dream for design and glasses. Yeah, I'm talking fancy plates and diamond glasses. The ushers keep skimming the collection.
Attention.
You're listening to The Blitz.
Lock and load, boys.
On ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Pinkerton's Barbecue on Airline Drive. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz live here at Pinkerton's, where you can come get some great barbecue, get some great alcohol, and you can hear some Blitzer on Blitzer crime as apparently we started quite the debate between two guys who were here. So that's on us.
Got those juices flowing, man. Kaepernick gets them going.
Well, and this whole thing started the other day when AJ brought it up, because on Pro Football Talk, like, 4 of the top 5 commented on stories were Kaepernick stories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I mean, like I said, we talked about it far enough, but
yeah.
I don't even think it's worth debating. Now, wait, the season starts and the guy hadn't gotten a phone call from anybody, then I might write about it. But now, I'm not worried about Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah, I think he'll have a job at some point. Somebody's quarterback will get hurt, and it happens all the time. And we'll see. I think there's a lot of teams that won't touch Jay Cutler. 713.
Yeah, when it comes to character, I'll take Colin Kaepernick's character over Jay Cutler coming and going. And most players in the NFL would, too.
Yeah, worst case, go up to Canada and dominate. That's what Vince is going to do. He's going to be back. You watch. Vince is going to be badass up there.
He'll be up there. when you're out for as long as he is. If he'd gone up there immediately when he left first, couldn't get a job
when
in the league.
He got cut by the Packers.
He did it to himself. I don't think there's any question. He didn't get as good a shot with the Packers as he should have. I think he would have made that team if he'd come in there earlier than he did. I don't think there'd be any question. But, you know, that was his fault that he was out of the league and trying to talk his way to prove to people that he was willing to put the work in. And I think he's a quality enough football player to have played in the NFL a lot longer than he did. But he ran himself out of the league.
But if he's motivated and goes up there, I don't think he's ever coming back to the NFL. But he might go up there and be a good quarterback.
He can play. He should be able to play for some years up there. I mean, he's not an old guy, so he should be able to play a little bit.
Cowboys signed an offensive lineman for all the Cowboys fans who were wondering why they're not doing anything. And same as the Texans, they signed Byron Bell, who might wind up being a potential replacement for Doug Free at right tackle.
Not him specifically, but I kind of thought the Texans would get out and sign an offensive lineman.
Yeah,
I just can't imagine them thinking, oh, we'll take the scraps that's left from the offensive line and be okay, or what they already have is okay, or that they'll get in the draft enough that'll make them better because they need to get better on the O-line.
No kidding.
I mean, period. So you're not going to get better with rookies, and you're not going to get better with what's left of free agents now, right? So I'm surprised they didn't go and really make one happen.
Yeah, that to me was their biggest glaring weakness. I'm okay with letting some of those guys go on defense because I think they have ready-made replacements there. Mm-hmm. Kevin Johnson, obviously you got to hope he's healthy, but everything appears to indicate he's going to be fine. And I think that's – he was playing great when he got hurt.
That foot thing on him is a huge concern, but, yeah, I'm with you. You let those guys go, but you've got to use the by now you should have been able to show us, hey, you know, we – instead of giving $14 million to A.J. Boye, we gave $7 million to two really solid offensive linemen who are going to be in our top six, and, you know, and we're set at that position now, you know.
Yeah,
they haven't showed us that. Or we got inside backers now, and, you know.
Do you think
– I don't know. What the
– Well, that's the thing.
Yeah, I don't know, I think
– I see a plan in place for the defense. I do. Mm-hmm. I see, okay, Kevin Johnson's coming back. We can't invest that much in that secondary. They like some of their young safeties, even though I hated to see Quentin go. I know they've got some guys in the pipeline there that they think can be players. John Simon, move McKinney outside and put Bulla inside more. That's fine. I know they've got pieces that they can use. I don't see that on the offensive line. I don't see this line of succession with guys that they have lined up ready to go. And don't throw Kendall Lamb at me. That guy's a disaster.
Two of the guys that are playing don't need to be playing. Well, so let alone the backups. I mean, Clark is a walking flag. You know, and I mean, the simple thing is they need upgrade at that spot across the board, basically. And you could say,
you should get better with Nick Martin, assuming he can play. I'll give him the benefit and say he can because I like that pick. All right, and Mance played well at center last year, so maybe one of those guys can become a guard and you improve a little bit in there. Mm-hmm. But right tackle's still a problem. And Derek Newton's not walking back in that room. I'm not even sure he's walking yet.
I'm not sure he'll play, yeah.
I don't see any chance he plays this year. And if that's the case, I mean, you're going back with Chris Clark, who was just awful. And, I mean, I don't know what the thought process is there. I don't know what the plan is there. I don't see one.
And that's
an area that is – and they weren't a terrible offensive line, but they weren't good enough.
Yeah, and they weren't good, and it's not like you're like, okay, they weren't quite good enough. But we know they're all across the board. All those players are going to improve. No, they're not. Yeah, I mean,
no. You're hoping for improvement there from some guys. At least the other places, you know, you're going to have some improvement. And they've proven that they can find guys in the secondary. That's one of the strengths of the team and has been. So I have no problem with any of that. But the offensive line just not doing anything. Even somebody who's been hurt, you know, who might be okay. 985.
And they seem to not be willing to take any risk. And what is the most curious, though, is we didn't hear a whole lot of they were in on this guy and didn't get him. They were in on that guy and didn't get him.
The one guy that signed with the Vikings was supposed to visit here the next day, and they just threw a bunch of money at him.
But otherwise, you've only been interested in one player in all of this time? They're not that secretive because agents will tell everybody everything.
Yeah.
So I don't know what they're doing. I mean, I wrote today and I was mostly joking, but I mean, maybe Rick Smith and Bill O'Brien are a little scared to go knock on Bob McNair's door, you know, with some more money. Because last time they came down and asked him for money, he had to give Brock Osweiler $21 million. And if I'm Bob McNair, I'm thinking, I just gave away $21 million because y'all told me to, both of you two. So don't come in my office asking for a damn dime.
I think he's doing fine.
That's what people were talking. And I was saying all year, they're going to cut that guy. They're going to cut him. They're going to eat the money or whatever because there was no way McNair was going to walk into that building every day and have Osweiler walking around with $37 million underwear on and not playing and not contributing. And I would just be so mad every time I saw him that, I'd start bouncing his checks. I'd open a special account and pay him out. The Players Association would be suing me like, wait a minute, why is his check on a different account? Because I don't want to give it to him. That's why.
Drunk Bevo asked, could the Texans be waiting until next season for a quarterback, better draft next year, and some of the quarterbacks from the Savage draft will be available. I think that's a possibility, but I also think you can't wait another year and try to go with Tom Savage as your quarterback. And if it's not Tony Romo, then I'm on the phone and I'm trying to get A.J. McCarron or I'm trying to get Brett Hundley or one of those guys and say, bring them in and compete. I'll give you a pick for one of those guys. Maybe that guy can play. I don't know. Maybe those guys can play.
Yeah. Your big problem with the wait till next year thing, there are several issues with the wait till next year. One, you don't know what's going to happen in the year. You don't know who's going to be good, who's going to be great. You don't know how good you're going to be. You may blow your chance by not doing what you could do because everybody gets hurt next year and you had a team. I mean, people talk about, oh, they shouldn't have even wanted to get into the playoffs. Well, they got in the playoffs, and on the first play of the game, Jadeveon Clowney knocked out Tom Brady for the game. All of a sudden, now you can win that game. You know, you don't know how it's going to go, so you want to win when you can win. And thinking about the future, how many times have we been sitting at this time of the year in March talking about the number one draft pick next year is going to be so-and-so, and by the time we get there, so-and-so, what was the kid from SC, you know?
Yeah.
I don't mean to talk about the current kid from SC, but right, the one before. What was his name? Ended up going to the Panthers or something in the third round and has never been any good.
Yeah,
and he's got a job now too. But, you don't know who's going to be good, and you don't know how you're going to get him. And the Texans can be really average last year, just that they've been the last 3 years, and have the 25th, 24th, 23rd pick again.
No, you're not going to get Josh Rosen or a guy like that.
And what are you going to get there? Yeah. Exactly. So,
but I do think the second-tier quarterbacks in next year's draft, I like them better than I do.
And you can still get one.
Yeah. Well, if I find them, I'm drafting one every year until I get the damn thing right.
Not
in the first round necessarily, but I use my second-round pick because they screw up second, third-round picks anyway.
And nobody say you can't draft one of those guys next year. Draft one of these guys this year and draft one of those guys next year.
Keep trying.
Yeah, the Patriots continue from the time they drafted Tom Brady, they kept drafting quarterbacks. Continue to draft quarterbacks.
Then selling them to suckers, like they're going to do with Garoppolo.
You think it's a sham? You don't see him being?
I love what I saw.
He might be better than the rest of them.
Yeah, he might be. I liked him coming out of college, so I like him more than other guys that they've done that with, including Matt Castle, who had a full season of body of work. This guy had basically, a game and a half. But I liked him coming out of college. Having said that, I'm not sure how much I'm paying for him. I do like, because his contract situation is what it is, if I'm the Texans and I have an opportunity to draft somebody at 25 or give him the 25th pick for that guy, I'd probably do the latter. Because, it's not like he had no pedigree. He was a second-round pick. You bring him in, but if the Patriots decide to trade him, the Browns are going to give him way more than the 25th pick.
Right, yeah. They can get more than what the Texans
And I would not trade three picks for the guy. Because
that's too much.
Yeah, at that point, no, I'll take somebody at 25 or I'll take somebody in the second round.
The Castle thing was just, you have to be smarter than that. The guy was in the seventh round, wasn't going to be drafted, and the Patriots just picked him on a lark for a reason.
Yeah.
You know, he was told to move to tight end when he was in college for a reason. Because he wasn't good enough quarterback. And he was the Patriots' fourth-string quarterback. I was there covering the team when he was there. And he scored a game-winning touchdown in, like, the first preseason game. And Belichick was like, yeah, okay. Now, he's going to be on the team. They liked the way he throw. But they knew he would never be a starter for them. They were just hoping we'd turn him into something. We can end up trading for something. And they did.
All right. When we come back, always the best segment of the week, R.J. Bell joins us from Vegas. Talk a little gambling. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Pinkerton's Barbecue on Airline Drive. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, drinking good whiskey, eating barbecue. And now, because we have a little stairway, we know who's coming next. Always the best segment of the year, the world's gambling guru. Our good friend R.J. Bell joins us. R.J., how are you, my friend?
Well, I had a nice piece on West Virginia on the money line last
Whoops.
Yeah. I'm happy you guys find that amusing.
I've had many of those where I had a really strong opinion and felt great about it and then watch them sit there and throw up, 12 awful shots at the end of the game. But
man, when he got that rebound, it was tied, and the big guy got the rebound about 35 seconds. You're the favorite there.
Mm. Yeah, well. Oh, well. It doesn't – but see, this is one of those things I try to explain to people. It doesn't mean it was a bad pick. Yeah, it just it didn't work out, but the thought process behind it was solid, I thought. So what do you do?
Yeah, maybe. To me, I really questioned Gonzaga's ability to handle the pressure. And the fact the game – and that's – when you think about money lines, when you take the dog on the money line, it's usually when you think there's a high-variance game, meaning that if A happens – then there's going to be a fairly extreme result, and you think A is going to happen. I thought that Gonzaga would really struggle against the pressure, and to me, I would have loved to have, in hindsight, it seems foolish, but if I could have laid 10 with WVU and been plus 300, or I guess it would have been a little bit more, let's say plus 450, I think I would have wanted to do that. I felt like there was a real chance of a WVU blowout. The fact it came down to the wire, obviously I still could have won, but it shows my handicap was off.
It seems like Vegas has been on so many of these lines have been very, very close. Is there any research at all that tells us how close they've been versus past years, or is that just an impression that I've got because every single one of my games that I bet have seemed to go down to the wire?
Well, I haven't seen that analysis, but I would say this, the more liquidity a market has, the better, the more efficient a market's going to be to stay with the finance speak, right? Liquidity equals efficiency. And there's just more money bet during March Madness. So if you said, okay, February, Tuesday, college basketball versus Sweet 16, over the long run, any given game could be off by 40 points. But over the long run, that increased liquidity, more action, means it's a more efficient market, which means the lines are going to be tighter.
Any RJ Bell here joining us. Any lean at all in a pick'em type game, I guess, mostly? I mean, at most I've seen it at a point with UCLA, Kentucky.
I actually would look to play against both of these teams. So obviously they're playing each other. With UCLA, it's because of all the publicity, right? When you've got Stephen A. Smith debating with the dad and that's on the homepage of .com, more people are going to be betting UCLA, quite frankly. And thus, I think they're slightly mispriced. We know, though, Kentucky, with their pedigree and their level of recruits, the level of player in the abstract usually is bigger or is better than the on-court performance, right? The intangibles, the coaching just isn't there the way that it should be. So on one hand, I think Kentucky's probably a little mispriced, inflated. Same thing with UCLA. So at least in that sense, I don't have an obvious pick. I would say whichever of these teams wins is going to have another win, obviously, under their belt to be inflated over. And I would look to fade them, not blindly, but that's going to certainly be my lean in the next round.
RJ, you dropped some terrific knowledge on brackets and seedings before the tournament. How has that held up so far in terms of what it's done in the past?
Well, how can I say this and not seem like I'm bragging? Perfectly, without fail, great prescience. Okay.
I set you up for that, by the way.
If you want to say it without sounding like you're bragging, that's not how you do it.
Yeah, I was just feeling my way, almost like a first take kind of, okay, now let's roll it. But I guess we're live, so that doesn't work. So here, all the fun aside, here's what we know. Historically, in the Sweet 16 round, seeds worse than number 12 have been less than 2% of the Sweet 16 teams. So, what I like to say is Cinderella has a curfew. And if you're 13, 14, and obviously less often 15, you might win that first game, and you do fairly often, but you're not going to win that second game historically. And it's been now 4 years since a single Sweet 16 team has been seeded worse than 12. Obviously, this year, one of those four. So it's now down to about 1.7% of the time. Now, the next round is 11 seed or better. So even 12 seeds don't make it to the next round. When I say next round, obviously I mean Elite Eight. Well, we don't even have any 12s in this round. So now we know, looking ahead, that that's going to hold up that ceiling for the Elite Eight, which is now in 33 years, only one team has been worse than an 11 that's made the Elite Eight. I mean, that's almost hard to imagine. One team worse than an 11 in 33 years. And we know even before all the games are final, that holds up once again.
RJ Bell is our guest. I think what you just told us is that if you take Cinderella on a date, you better hook up with her the first or second date, because after that, it's not happening.
Well, I think your analogy's off. I think the Cinderella is about that evening. So I think what you're going to want to do with Cinderella is get her to come to the white shoe special, as I call it, the early bird 4 to 6. and then, you know, get a nice meal in at a discount. And then you've got, you know, maybe 6 hours left till midnight.
And she's only good for Thursday or Friday, because she's not going to be around for the weekend. She's no good,
yeah. Well, you know, in this at this point, I think fair enough. Yes, because the Elite Eight. Now, what's interesting is, and I'll tweet these out at RJ in Vegas, as we approach the final, you know, the next two rounds, obviously the final four, is there are ceilings for the final four. And that ceiling is the number 9 seed or lower historically, or better, I guess is the way to say it, makes the final four. So according to who wins these games, there will be some teams that historically should not be winning their next game.
RJ, I want to ask, because when you look at the title odds, and Kentucky's 11-1 and UCLA's 13-1, and you essentially have a pick 'em, and I know they're different, I know it's different pools and everything, but is there different money that goes into the future bets? Is it wise guy money more than what the line is? Is there any way to use that as a tool in making that pick?
Yeah, you know, it's a great point, right? So by definition, what an arbitrage is, now people have heard that phrase, I think a lot of people probably aren't super familiar with it. What a classic hedge fund does is arbitrage, which is, okay, I want to buy silver futures. And if I buy them in America, they're priced X. But if I buy them in Europe at the exact same moment, I can actually make two buys in Europe that replicates the one buy in the US, and I'm making a penny because of the way that I'm buying in one place and really selling, I guess, in the other. And I kind of misspoke. It's buy one, sell the other. And just imagine, for example, it's a hot day and people are walking to a concert on a given road. There's a 7-Eleven two blocks away that isn't visible from the road. You go buy a bunch of water at the 7-Eleven for 50 cents a bottle, and then you bring it down and sell it for $2 a bottle. That's actually an arbitrage, though that one wouldn't be purely riskless, because in theory, maybe it doesn't get bought down there, right? But, you know, in the stock market, it's going to be oftentimes a riskless arbitrage, and that's how the hedge funds make all that money. And it's not easy, right? Because if it were easy, a lot of people would do it. You just said something interesting, as in there's two markets for the same thing, which is, well, if UCLA doesn't win tonight, they can't win the title. So in a weird way, there should be a very similar pricing, but the idea that UCLA has one future odd and Kentucky would be different, even though they have the exact same path, that shouldn't be. There's only two rationales for that. One would be if they believe that one of the teams would be more likely to match up well against their next opponent, let's say. Though I think that's just too much of a kind of stretch to think that's the reason. And the other reason is simple. Different people play futures, as you intimated to, then they play sides, right, games. And I think that the future market is less sophisticated and the game market is more sophisticated. So in this case, if you see one team priced richer or better, like they have a better chance in the future market, it's probably a sign the public likes that team more, and thus it's going to affect the future odds, that public love, more than it affects the game odds.
All right, Jay, let me throw a quick one way out of the box on you. Just
More out of the box than arbitrage.
Yeah, this is okay. More out of the box than that one. during the season, you know, games are games are games, but now it's all the tournament. It's the NCAA tournament. Are there something that people who are players or the pros are looking at in NIT or lower divisions off, you know, away from the big dance?
Oh, for sure. You know, I would make the case pros actually like playing the alternative tournaments more because they feel like maybe the books aren't paying as much attention. Obviously, they're paying some attention, but not as much. But then on the other hand, you could say, well, there's more public money in the NCAA tournament, which means there's a better chance of public bias resulting in a mispricing. What I thought you were going to say, though, real quick about the NIT, that it's all about motivation. Right? Any of the non-NCAA tournaments are, how motivated is the team going to be? Now, once you get past the first round, that's less the case. In the second round, it's somewhat the case. But once you get past the second, all the teams kind of see Madison Square Garden in their sights. So, or the Final Four, however you want to say, in their sights. So I think that time might have passed, but just put it in your pocket for next year. You'll see teams that should have made the NCAAs that don't, that get beat that first round all the time. It's just like bowl games where a college football team thought they might play on January 1 or BCS, and then they're playing on December 26th, and oftentimes they don't play very hard. One last thing, and I thought where you were going was the fact this is one and done, get eliminated if you lose one game. How does it affect things? I think what ends up happening is you want to look for the teams that typically have motivation problems. Now, the analogy, now that might not sound right, but think about it. In the NBA, there's often teams that always play at their best, like the Atlanta Hawks or the Spurs, and then there's teams like the Cavs that are up and down. Well, you actually want to look to play on the teams that are up and down during the playoffs because you know they're going to be up. And thus, if you look at their season stats, wins and margin and all that, they're going to be deceiving because they weren't always motivated. Another way to think about it is a team that has another gear. Having another gear is an indictment during the regular season because you're not using it, but it's actually something you can benefit from in the postseason if that team ends up being underrated because of it. Same thing in the NCAA tournament. A team that isn't playing hard every game during the regular season is likely underrated, and you know they're going to be playing hard in the tournament.
That's kind of one of the things I've been telling people who are just saying of the teams most likely for the – or the teams that possible for the Rockets to play in the first round. They're like, oh, they want to play the Clippers. The Clippers have been playing terrible. I'm like, but that's a team that – their entire season to even be a decent season will hinge on them playing well in the playoffs, and they may just find their groove right then, and you don't want to be playing that kind of team.
I think that's fair. I think the Clippers have a possible another gear. For me, it's not so much motivation with them, but it's chemistry. I just think that's always been an X factor with that team.
Yeah. RJ, I want to ask you about this Derek Stevens guy because that's gotten a lot of run, and didn't exactly get off to the best of starts. But I do think it's kind of cool that people are following this, and it's become kind of a national story.
Yeah, so he owns and I actually like giving Derek, and I know Derek a little bit personally. So he owns the big hotel he owns is called The D, which is a takeoff on Detroit, which is his hometown. And I would say it's the best casino downtown, right? So you got the Strip, and then you got Old Downtown, as my dad calls it. And Old Downtown is like, imagine if Memphis had a big strip of casinos, right? A lot of fanny packs, a lot of big bellies, a lot of gals in t-shirts, right?
So not a lot of 32 teeth together.
And it's not because their wisdom teeth are gone either. All right, so it's fun, though. It's a whole different thing. Right? You can eat, like, you know, people probably have heard of the fried Twinkies. You know, that's going to be the source of the fried Twinkies, for example. So what he's done is say, hey, this can be a big business. This just doesn't have to be, oh, we don't clean the bathrooms down here just because they're from the Midwest. And the D really has stepped things up. And now he's bought, I think, three other properties. And he's looking to, you know, Monopoly style, really pick things up down there. And he's a showman, right? I mean, I think he's in his late 40s. And he just has this showman's way about him. So he ended up spending, you know, betting $10,000 a game. in the first 32 games, all the first round games, and he went 9. I think it was it was a 9-19-3 or some variation of that, and I guess that doesn't. It does add up to 32, right? So that's good. And so he's lost a lot of money, but he's gotten a lot of publicity, which I appreciate. Now, what's fun for him, he's an alum of Michigan, and he did bet $12,500 at 80-1 to win the $1 million. So obviously he had a chance coming in, and now that's over too. So a big loss for him, but a lot of publicity. But I would say if you do like, let's say, the less less opulence. Now, a lot of people might say, oh, who wouldn't want more opulence? That's not true. You know, I grew up in Ohio, and, you know, I've been in Vegas since, you know, for 19 years now, since 98. So I'm fine, Bellagio, whatever. I'm comfortable. But a lot of people from the Midwest, they go to one of those fancy places, and it makes them a little uncomfortable. So what you, and I think I was more like that when I came out here. So the old downtown is a good alternative if you just want to kind of get a 40-ounce beer, you know, in a big, you know, shape like a showgirl and walk down the street drinking it. Downtown is the place to go.
Yeah, we never get to go down there because we're always on the strip for the fights, but it reminds me of Reno, which is just all gambling and not so much of the opulence. But
yeah, but you know, it's not just all gambling. It's just a different kind of amenity where on the strip at the, you know, Bellagio or at the Cosmo, the amenity is going to be $80 sushi or it's going to be, you know, a show that costs $200. The amenity downtown is literally going to be topless girls with paint over their breasts, literally sitting there on the street, or fried Twinkies. So I guess it matters what kind of amenity you find appealing.
All right. Well, John is bitching at me about needing to go to break because we got the tournament coming up.
So I don't get a chance to ask him what's the difference in the price of the working girls down there.
No, we'll have to save that for another time.
Check the internet.
Yeah. RJ, always a pleasure, man. We're going to be out there for the Canelo fight, so hopefully you can have Thursday night open, and we'll go get something to eat or something, man.
Fried Twinkies it is.
All right, sounds good.
Thanks, guys.
All right, we'll go to break now. We'll be right back for a very short segment, and we'll wrap this puppy up. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Yo, G, they can't stop me from rapping, can they? Can they hop?
This is a RentersWarehouse.com Roadshow, live from Pinkerton's Barbecue on Airline Drive. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz for a few seconds here. Got to tell you, let's rodeo. Houston, Dierks Bentley is performing tonight. For just $18, you can see the best music, rodeo action, shopping, dining, and carnival fun. Buy your tickets today at RodeoHouston.com for Dierks Bentley. And college basketball Sweet 16 coverage begins at 6. And as usual, we went over with RJ, and my apologies, John, but I have so much fun talking to that guy. I want to take a second to thank Pinkerton's for having us out here. The food was fantastic. And
get here. Yeah. Easy to get to.
Yeah, come check
located.
It out.
Outstanding brisket.
I'm gonna go jump on a flight that keeps getting delayed. So maybe I'll get to Chicago tomorrow. We'll see. Want to thank the Ninja for keeping us on air today. Good job. Very good job. See, he doesn't talk. He won't even say thank you. That's a ninja.
You look like that, you don't have to talk.
Yeah, he still scares me. Great job by John Lee back at studio. Jerome, always a pleasure, man. Appreciate you taking the time to come out and do the show today. You're welcome here anytime, as you know.
Thanks for the invite.
And that's going to wrap it up. I hope everybody has an awesome weekend. And we'll be back on Monday doing it all over again. Till then, stay sporty, bitches.
ESPN 97.5.